Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember, you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. I wanted to talk at the opening of the show about some reasons why the mark of the beast cannot be a silicon microchip. And the reason I want to do this is there are so many people with so many conspiracy theories in the Christian world that it's almost mind-numbing. And so when the Food and Drug Administration approved the marketing of a microchip implantable under the skin of human beings for medical identification, you had these paranoid prophecy pundits immediately touting Verichip technology as well as the mark of the beast spoken of in Revelation chapter 13. But there's got to be a counter to this kind of newspaper eschatology. And that counter is that there's no biblical basis for believing that the mark of the beast is, in fact, a silicon microchip. And I say that for three reasons. The first is that biblically, the mark of the beast is a parody of the mark of the Lamb, just as the mark on the foreheads of the 144,000 depicted in Revelation chapter 14 symbolizes identity with the Lamb. So the mark in Revelation chapter 13, the chapter that precedes Revelation chapter 14, symbolizes identity with the beast. And likewise, when Jesus said that on him who overcomes, I will write the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. I will also write on him my new name. We ought to intuitively realize that Jesus Christ does not have a magic marker in mind. The second reason why the mark of the beast cannot be a silicon microchip is that the forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols of a person's belief and behavior, not a microchip. In other words, if you read Scripture in light of Scripture, you get some kind of an idea of the significance of foreheads and hands. What you believe and how you behave mark you as either belonging to God or belonging to Satan. So what you believe, how you behave, a way of designating the forehead and the hand designate who you belong to. And as such, John's reference to the mark of the beast in Revelation is securely tethered to the whole of Scripture. On the contrary, the notion that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship or a social security card number or a microchip, it has no biblical basis whatsoever. And then the third reason is that far from being a microchip, the mark of the beast is the intentional, and that's the operative word. It's the intentional denial in thought, word, and deed of the lordship of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And thus, rather than fearfully avoiding microchip technology, we should with fear and trembling resist the temptation to be conformed to the evil systems of this world. Instead, we must boldly accept the mark of the Lamb by offering our bodies as living sacrifices and by being transformed by the renewing of your minds, precisely what Paul tells us to do in Romans chapter 12. I've said this before on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it would do all of us good to take some time and memorize Romans chapter 12. I memorized it many, many years ago, and I ought to go back and refresh it in my mind. It's one of the most powerful passages in terms of how the church is to operate in the entirety of Scripture. I also want to mention three things to consider in identifying the 144,000 that are referenced in Revelation chapter 7, a question that comes up over and over again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and through our various ministry outreaches. The first thing to consider is that the 144,000 and the great multitude spoken of in Revelation chapter 7 are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. And in that sense, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. So as John is told about a lion, he turns to see a lamb. In the same way he's told about the 144,000, he turns to see a great multitude. And therefore, the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. It's the same entity seen from two different vantage points. So from one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From another vantage point, she is innumerable. She's a great multitude that no one can count. The second thing to consider is that to suggest, as modern prophecy pundits do, that the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly that, 12,000 hardly comports with reality. Now, why do I say that? I say that because the figurative number, or at least the figurative use of this number, the number 12, as well, by the way, as its multiples, is well established in biblical history. I'll give you an example. The tree of life in paradise is said to bear 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the great presbytery in heaven is surrounded by 24 elders. Of course, I'm talking about the tree of life in paradise restored, not in the old paradise. And likewise, the figurative use of the number 1,000 is, of course, common in Old Testament usage. God increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times. God keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The least of Zion will become 1,000, the smallest a mighty nation. God shows love to 1,000 generations. And I suppose if we thought about this long enough, 1,000 more examples, of course, I'm speaking figuratively, would pop into your head. Consider, as a third point, what 144,000 actually means. It actually represents true Israel as she was intended to be, perfect in symmetry, providentially sealed. She's the purified bride from every nation, tribe, people, and language that will ultimately step over the Jordan into the New Jerusalem prepared for her from the very foundations of the world. So here's the bottom line. The number 144,000 represents the limitless great multitude of all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who inhabit the courts of God for all eternity. So what do you do when you come up with the sensationalistic information that's so prevalent on the internet, or when you hear a popular prophecy pundit speaking? Well, you compare Scripture with Scripture. And when you do, you come up with a clear and proper understanding of what 144,000 actually represents. I've written about this in various places, including the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, as well as the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Both those resources available on the web, and both those resources available for those who support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially. Again, as you give, be happy to send you this resource to equip you, along with my thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. When we come back from the break, I will go directly to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
Many Christians don't know how to respond to the issue of transgenderism. Unfortunately, ignorance is not an option. The Bible is clear on issues of sexuality and gender, making fidelity to the foundations of our faith essential. Andrew T. Walker wrote the book, God and the Transgender Debate, to serve as a resource to equip Christians to understand gender identity from a biblical perspective. To receive a copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. We'll return with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Throughout history, gender was understood as binary, male or female. Today, Facebook offers over 50 gender options for its members. If you're feeling confused, you're not alone. What is transgenderism and gender fluidity? In a culture ready to label anyone who questions the transgender agenda as hateful and bigoted, how should Christians respond? Christians need to understand and provide a biblical response to the transgender agenda, which is why the book, God and the Transgender Debate, by Andrew T. Walker, is a resource every Christian must read to understand the issue of transgenderism and what the Bible actually says about gender identity. To receive your copy of God and the Transgender Debate, What Does the Bible Actually Say About Gender Identity?, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right to our phone callers. First up is John in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the web. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the show. I just had my question was I've been kind of looking into the Orthodox faith and stuff, and I ran and I joined a group on Facebook, and they got to talking about toll houses, and I'm not familiar with it coming from a Protestant background, and I just wanted to find out from you more about them so I could understand them more clearly.
Yeah, it's something that you won't ever want to take in a wooden literalistic sense, and I don't think that the fathers who spoke about this ever took this in a wooden literal sense. And I think that's the mistake that can be made in this regard. But all the fathers virtually talked about toll houses or aerial toll houses, but you don't want to suppose that there's some aerial space in the sky. That's one of the mistakes that you can make if you take this in a literalistic way. The teaching, of course, is that evil angels attack a person at the moment of death, just as good angels come to support the person at the moment of death. And that's why we pray in the Orthodox Church that we might die a peaceful death, free from suffering, and have the certain knowledge that we will be in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this is, again, something that you don't want to take in a wooden literalistic sense. You want to take in the sense in which it's intended. It's also one of these areas that I want to do more research into. I know a very little bit about it, but I am in the process of reading further on this subject.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the answer. Thanks.
Yeah, you got it. My pleasure. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joseph in Bidwell, Ohio, listening on the web. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
Hey, I had a question for you. Some time ago, I ran across both a radio and television program called Getting to Know Your Bible. And it's hosted by a guy named Billy Lambert. He's the preacher for the Summerdale Church of Christ in Summerdale, Alabama. And I just wanted to know, is this an independent Church of Christ, or is this part of a much larger picture?
Well, I've said many times that the Church of Christ runs this gamut from being completely Orthodox, and I've spoken in Churches of Christ over the years that are completely Orthodox, to those Churches of Christ that teeter on the edge of cultism. So, what I understand about this church, although I haven't done much primary research into this Billy Lambert, it just doesn't come up on my radar very often. What I understand about him is that he's in a mainstream kind of Church of Christ denomination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know some of them, Hank, believe that anyone in any other denomination is not saved, and so if you attend a Baptist church and all this stuff, I've heard some Churches of Christ say that eternal Son of God is a denominational doctrine. I've heard some of them say that they'll take the issue of no music and they'll make it a fundamental doctrine. Which one does this?
Well, again, they run the gamut, and I don't think that this particular church is on the cultic side of the spectrum. But you're absolutely right. If you go to the Crossroads movement within the Church of Christ, this has evolved out of the Boston Church of Christ. It's well known for its authoritarianism. And this particular group goes so far as to say that other segments within the Church of Christ movement are non-Christian and will face eternal damnation. So, it's a mixed bag. And again, I haven't done enough research on this particular person to be definitive, but I think he's in the more mainstream segment of the Church of Christ movement. Let me go back to the phone lines, talk to Tony, in Lexington, Kentucky, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, I've got a kind of a tough question. I know that you've covered it before, but I have more of a practical question about it. So I guess the first part of the question is, can a believer, can a born-again Christian lose salvation? And then the practical part about it is, if they did, how would that kind of play out? Would they know in this life that they'd lost their salvation? Would the Holy Spirit then leave them? Would they then, would the wrath of God pour out then? Would it pour out when they got to Judgment Day?
From a practical standpoint, if you walk away from the faith once delivered to the saints, and you leave the faith, the wrath of God is upon you. Your temple is no longer a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, this does not happen by accident. This happens by intention, which is to say that if you are a genuine Christian, you're not a Lone Ranger Christian, you're baptized and brought into a community of faith in which you receive graces that transform you from one glory to another. Now, if you don't partake of the graces that are afforded you, you can certainly begin to wane in your faith, and some walk away from the faith. Imagine Judas, for example. Judas was with Christ. He knew all of the graces that were available by being in Christ's inner circle, and yet Judas walked away from the Savior because he wasn't really there because he loved Jesus Christ. He was there because of what was on Christ's table, so to speak. In other words, what Christ could do for him. And ultimately, the church designates Judas's greed as the very factor that caused him not only to walk away from the Lord, but to overtly betray him with a kiss. So the point is that if you partake of the graces that are afforded you, then you can have a confidence. And that confidence is that he who began a good work in you is going to carry that good work on to completion. You can also have the promise imprinted on your mind that God will keep you strong to the end. And none of these are my words. They're the words of Scripture. In fact, we are marked with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So if you partake of the graces on an ongoing basis, you are transformed from one glory to another. But if you do not, then you can easily fall back into a world of sin and dispossession. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to David in Port Tobacco, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, David.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Wondering, do we know how long did Lazarus live after Jesus brought him from the grave? And did he maybe speak to Mary or Martha about what he had experienced?
Well, I have no doubt that he did. He was Mary and Martha's brother. They loved him very much. And of course, Christ did the unthinkable, at least from the perspective of Mary and Martha. He waited quite a number of days and on the fourth day raised him from the dead. And how long he lived thereafter, we do not know. But like all of us, he died and he is awaiting the time when he will be resurrected in the eternal state. And that will happen when Jesus appears a second time. And Jesus made that plain when he says, "Do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned."
Yes. Yeah, so, okay, because I couldn't find where it happened. Perhaps if we knew how long he lived after.
Well, there are traditions about that. There's a tradition that says that Lazarus lived another 30 years. And there's a church in Cyprus, which is built on the traditional tomb of Lazarus, and the people that surround that memorial will often tell you about this oral tradition of Lazarus living another 30 years, but we don't know for sure.
Yeah, wow. Thank you so very much.
You got it. So all we have is nothing concrete, but we do have traditions that are passed along, and I think sometimes we can put a lot of weight on those traditions, in other cases, not so much so. At a time for this edition of the Bible Answer Band broadcast, as always, Monday through Friday, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically, 888-275-4265. And again, my thanks to all of you who support this ministry. When you do, you're touching the lives of people all around the globe. Got a lot of new podcasts that you can find on the web at equip.org. If you haven't been listening to the Hank Unplugged podcast, got a lot more coming up in the future as well. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.